This is my daughter, Rylan, and my other two kids coming up down the aisle. They want to go play space ball, so they just wanted to come say hi real quick. That was Titus. This is Caleb and my lovely wife, Stephanie. Titus has no energy at all. And they are joining us this week, so if you see them around, feel free to give them a slushie. No, please talk to mom first about that. So, all right, guys, can you say bye-bye? Bye-bye, say bye-bye. Bye-bye. You can go get mommy. Love you, Bubba. Love you. So that's me in a nutshell right there. There we are. So right there is that stands for God's team. So we all know that green stands for growth and gold is the streets of heaven and purple is just some silly color. So I'm just playing. If you're not a Packers fan, that's okay. God will still save your soul. I love sports. I grew up in Michigan. I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in a little town called Wyoming, Michigan, not to be confused with the state of Wyoming, which I think there are more people in the city of Wyoming than the state of Wyoming. Hey, you gonna hop? You gonna hop? How about you hop to mama?
I lost her.
And so, growing up in Michigan, I am a Wolverines fan, so for those of you... For those of you that are Iowa or Iowa State fans, good for you. I love the Cubs. And the Detroit Tigers. And the reason I became a Cubs fan is because the Tigers are the Tigers. No, I grew up in Michigan, grew up watching the Tigers and the Cubs. Chicago's only 3 hours away, so I got to go to Wrigley all the time as a kid, watching the greatest hockey franchise in the world. I know St. Louis just won the Stanley Cup, but I still hold true to my favorite hockey team. I love hunting. I'm not any good at fishing. I know some people do that synonymously, hunting and fishing. No, hunting, give me a deer, I'll shoot it. Fishing, there could be a fish right there, and I could put the line right in its mouth, and I would still miss it. So that is that. Today, this time in the morning, we're going to be taking a look at what is this big giant in our life called rejection. Now, I would be kidding myself if I stood up here pretending that all of you we're in a perfectly good place in life, and we're not facing any type of rejection. I'd be kidding myself. One of the biggest rejections that I faced when I was in junior high was this thing called having a girlfriend. What? Having a girlfriend was really rough for me in junior high. You know, rejection and girlfriends, they usually go together. Yeah. And so if you're struggling with this, I just want you to pay attention to something. Can we get audio? Greg, can you go yell at somebody? So the giant of rejection, as we get the audio trying to work there, how many of you would say, I've been rejected in my life? How many of you would say, I'm lying about not being rejected in my life? And so I'll tell you a fun little story before we show the video. When I was in junior high camp, I went to the basketball court because I wanted to show off. I was about 4'10". I weighed about 79 pounds. And I wore adult men's extra large clothing because that was just gangsta. And that was like, gonna get the girls. And I remember trying to show off for the girls, because everybody goes to camp for the girls. I mean, let's just face it, right? So I go there, and I'm playing basketball, and I go to do a crossover, and I end up doing the splits. And I don't know how to do the splits. And so the girls that I was eyeing, just put it this way, they walked away. And it was never a good thing. But if you're ever struggling and you need some help in your dating relationships, John has some help.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first and I believe only Christian breakup lines. Hey, do you know Kirk Cameron? Because you're about to be left behind. All things work together for good, but we ain't together and this ain't good. If I'm the Bible, you're the book of Thomas. Not included.
Wait, hold on. Thomas, is that one of the books?
No, it's not one of the books. That's the joke. Why are we breaking up? Call me Matt Redman because I got 10,000 reasons.
So, girls, if you need help this week, use one of those lines and that will help you. Now, I will tell you, I do make light of this aspect of being rejected. I do understand completely that being rejected is a real thing. Being rejected has real pain. It has real hurt. Many of you, even right now as you're sitting here, are feeling the hurt and the pain of rejection in your life. That pain and that hurt can only come from somebody who you have allowed yourself to be entrusted into. You have given your emotional being to that person. It could be a mom, it could be a dad, it could be a best friend, it could be a boyfriend, it could be a girlfriend, whoever it is, it's somebody that you have said, I trust you with everything of me, and I'm going to put my trust in you. And then that person breaks your heart, and you are completely rejected. I want to let you know that I understand the emotional side of that is very real. I'm not going to go through all of my horror stories of being rejected, but it is real. So I don't want you to think that I'm making light of it or joking with that. But I do want to show you through Scripture today how you can handle that. And so as you have your copies of God's Word, go to the book of Numbers. It's a book of the Bible most people avoid. It's not as bad as people think it is. It's not just full of numbers. It's not math class. You can go get a chalkboard, by the way, at craft time. I'm not paid sponsor for craft time. But as we are flipping to Numbers, chapter 13, when you think you have the answer to this question, just yell it out. I love participation. He was rejected by the University of Southern California of Cinematic Arts twice. He was rejected by the University of Southern California of Cinematic Arts twice. Who is that? Steven Spielberg. He was told by his teachers that he was too stupid to learn anything. Thomas Edison. Yell it out quick. Yell it out quick. He was told that he lacked imagination and he had no good ideas. Walt Disney. His first book was rejected by 27 different publishers. Dr. Seuss. He was told that he was not good enough to make the basketball team. The real greatest basketball player to ever live, Michael Jordan. Walt Disney said this about rejection, and I want you to listen to this. I know Walt Disney is not preaching the gospel, but listen to this. We live in a generation, I'll go back to Walt. We live in a generation where we are lied to. Where we are lied to, and the world tells us that everything evolves around you and your happiness. The problem with that is that they will tell you that you step on anybody who gets in your way because your happiness is the most important thing in the world. I will tell you from personal experiences, your counselors will tell you from personal experiences, we can share you from God's Word, we'll show you thousands of years of human history, happiness never leads to satisfaction. It will never teach you anything. This is what Walt Disney said. Remember, he was rejected and rejected and rejected. This is what Walt Disney said. I think it's important to have a good, hard failure when you're young because it makes you kind of aware of what can happen to you. Because of it. I've never had any fear in my whole life when we've been near collapse. When Disney, as a company, was near collapse, he didn't have fear because he experienced failure. He knew how to deal with failure. We live in a society where sometimes it can be parents that we don't want our kids to fail, and so we smother them. Parents, if that's you in this room, please let your children have wings. Let them fail. The greatest teacher in the world is failure. Now, be wise. Don't let them jump off the Empire State Building because they think they have wings. That would not be smart. But let them fail at small things because that's the only way we will learn. Michael Jordan, I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost over almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I have been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Rejection does not have to be the end of the world. You can be rejected because of your friends. You can be rejected because you're tall. You can be rejected because you're short. You can be rejected for any of the reason that Pastor Jason was talking about last night. People are going to find a way to be displeased in you because they don't like what you have, and they're going to reject you. Today, I hope to encourage you, do not put your acceptance into another human being's hands for your worth, because you are worth way more than anybody in this room would ever be willing to pay. Numbers chapter 13, we get into this situation where God has told Moses, there's a land that I want you to go conquer. This land had been promised by God for generations. And God is telling Moses, I want you to send one person from all 12 tribes to go and search this land out. So Moses goes back to his people. He gets his 12 men. They go into the land, and the men go in, and they find some amazing things. They find a cluster of grapes. Who here likes grapes? Who here likes grape juice or whatever, you know? Imagine, you're too young for that. Imagine going into a land and they find a cluster of grapes so large that they have to put the cluster on a pole and carry it between two people. That's how big of a cluster of grapes they find in this land. So you're not talking about going to like Fairway or Hy-Vee and getting a cluster of grapes like this, right? You're talking about a cluster so large they have to carry it between two men. That's what they find in this land. They find other amazing things. They find pomegranates and figs. They say that the land is so wonderful. It's flowing of milk and honey. It is amazing. And you know what? God promised that land for generations. They go in, and God is going to bless them with these amazing things. But the story doesn't stop there. The story doesn't even really start there. 10 out of the 12 spies don't look at God's blessings. They look at their circumstances, and they allow their circumstances to put them in a state of fear. And then they notice the giants that live in the land. Now, when I say giants, I literally mean giants. These men are the size of Goliath. They inhabit the land. The city is fortified. It is armed. It is thick. It is huge. It's what the U.S. is trying to do at the Mexican border. It's huge. Sorry, don't want to be political, but you talk about a wall, you kind of have to. But they go into the land, and they forget all that God blessed, all the promises of God, and they are distracted by the circumstances around them, and all they can now see is the things that they fear. So the 12 spies go back to Moses and back to the people, and they tell them of the things that they see. And they start off with the good things. We find this. But we can't go in because the men are too big. The city is too strong. We can't do it. And there's two men, Joshua and Caleb. That's why I named my son Caleb, was because of his faith. Joshua and Caleb say, you guys were looking at the wrong thing. You were looking at all the things that you couldn't do, but I was looking at all the things that God promised. And when God promises something, it will come true. And God's promises are bigger and better than anything we can imagine or fear. And that's when we're going to dive into this story, because what happens here to Joshua, he faces major rejection by his people. And we need to stand in the face of rejection. We cannot just turn and run. Numbers chapter 14. I summarized 13. Numbers chapter 14, starting in verse 5. I'll give you a second. I hear some pages rustling. I want you to get there. Numbers chapter 14, starting in verse 5. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Joseph. Or not Joseph, that's a different sermon. I want you to put your feet in the feet of Joshua and Caleb. You go in, you have all the confidence in the world that you are going to conquer this promised land that has been promised for generations. It's like going into a test that you've done all your homework with. You're like, I'm going to ace it. And then you get to class and your teacher says, oh, this is going to be a group test. And all the other people that didn't study, now their answers are going to be on your test. That's kind of what's going on. Let's start reading in verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly and the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the lands, tore their clothes. They tore their clothes because the people were not willing to see God. They were saying, no, we can't go in. And Moses and Joshua and Caleb are tearing their robes because they are in great pain and agony for the spiritual welfare of the other 10 and the people of Israel that are deciding, let's not go to what God has promised. And said to the congregation and all the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy out is an excellent, good land. I'm going to pause there. All of God's gifts are excellent. All of God's promises are wonderful. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us. And a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. You can see their focus. Their focus isn't on, oh, don't hurt me. Their focus is on don't reject the Lord, because the Lord has already promised what we were going to do. And do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. I love that. God's just going to give it to them. It's just like nothing. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. We do not need to be scared of any of our circumstances when we stand in the Lord. There is nothing to fear when we stand in the Lord. Doesn't matter what your friends can say. It doesn't matter what your parents can do. It doesn't matter what your coach may do or not do. It doesn't matter what anybody in society tells you, yes or no. When you stand in the truths of God's words, you can stand in the face of rejection and say, I hear you, I respect you, but you're wrong. Now, don't tell your parents they're wrong. That's probably not a good idea. If you're going to do that, be very respectful. And the Lord is with us, do not fear them. Then all the congregation said, this is kind of the pinnacle of the story here. stone them with stones. They were going to physically be rejected by the people of Israel because they wanted to stand for God. And he said, grab stones and let's kill them because we don't agree with them. And what does Joshua do? He stands in the midst of all the rejection. He stands firm in God, and God does some amazing work here. But the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent meeting to all the people of Israel. God will give you the strength to stand for him in the face of rejection. One thing that you need to remember when you are facing rejection, number one, you need to recognize that doing the right thing, you need to do it no matter what the cost. You need to do the right thing no matter what the cost. That's not in your notes. You only have my basic outline. You don't have the other stuff. So I don't have the fill in the blanks like Jason did. You fill in how the Holy Spirit leads you. But we need to do the right things no matter what others say about you. No matter what the cost, do the right thing. How many of you guys watched or heard that the Women's World Cup just won the championship? Okay. In 2017, one of the best defensive players in the world, Jalene Hinkle, made a statement for the Lord. Jalene was considered by most everybody to be the best defensive player in the world. And in 2017, the U.S. women's national team decided that they were going to wear a rainbow uniform to support the LGBTQ community. And Jalene said, that goes against what I believe would bring honor to my God. And she chose for those two games not to play. And this is what she said in an interview. I just felt so convicted in my spirit that it wasn't my job to wear this jersey. I gave myself 3 days to just seek and pray and determine what God was asking me to do in this situation. We need to seek God's face. We need to stand up no matter what the cost. Now, here's where it's crazy. She's one of the best, if not the best defensive player in the world. The very next game that she played in, the LGBTQ community booed her. And she never played another minute for the U.S. Nationals or anything. They cut her. The best defensive player got cut because she stood up for her faith. Because it went against what society tells us is acceptable. She didn't say anything mean. She didn't say anything horrible. She didn't say anything down to people who believed differently than her. She just said, I'm going to stand up for my faith. And as a result, she was cut from the national team because of a political move. Are you willing to stand up for the truth no matter what cost it take, or are you going to get sucked into the pressure like the Israelites saying, no, 10 spies said it was too hard for us? Or are you going to listen to the two who actually knew the truth and says, it doesn't matter if it's too hard for us because it's not about us, it's about God. And he's already promised us the land. It's going to be easy. Let's go. And they said, let's stone them. There are stories after stories after story in the Bible of men and women who are rejected. Daniel and his friends were captured into slavery, and they were going to eat the king's food. And they said, no, we're not going to stand in the king's food. They had to stand in the face of rejection. The king could have rejected them, but they stood in the face of God, and God blessed them. Daniel was in his prayer closet. His friends lied to the king. The king signed a decree that said, you can't pray to any other god but me. And Daniel says, I'm going to stand in the potential of rejection. I am going to pray to my one true God. I don't care if it means I go to the lion's den. He was tossed in the lion's den. God protected him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told that they needed to bow before a statue. They refused in the face of rejection. They were tossed into a fiery furnace that was so hot that the men who threw them in burned. God protected them. We do not have to just go with the flow because it's what's popular or what's accepted. We have to stand firm in the truth of God Don't worry about what your friends say. Don't worry about what your peers say. Worry about what our Father in heaven says. And he has promised us. And listen to this promise of a future blessing that we will receive for those who stand true in him. He will give us power, give power to the faint, and to them who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God does not promise an easy life, but he promises us an amazing reward. It's going to be tough. I promise you, if you stand firm for God, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But the reward is worth it. We need to stand in the face of rejection. Verse 16. Luke 10, verse 16 says, let me flip over to Luke chapter 10, verse 16. We need to remember that when we stand in the face of rejection, that we're not the ones being rejected. Luke chapter 10, verse 16. The one who hears you hears me. This is Jesus Christ talking. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. If they reject you, they reject Christ. If they reject Christ, they reject God. So when you have that hurt, and like I said at the very beginning, I understand the hurt is real, and the hurt will come. But when we keep our focus on who is really important, that hurt will hurt for a shorter time. How many of you guys have ever been called a bad name? I'm not going to ask you how many of you have called somebody else a bad name, because probably the same hands are going to go up too. How many of you guys have ever been ignored because of something that you look like or something that you enjoy? How many of you guys have ever been ignored just for being you? It's real. We have to understand. You can put your hand on. I appreciate your honesty. I've been rejected a lot in my life. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. What verse were we reading? We were reading in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Yep, so if you want to underline that, yep. Rejection is real. We've been ridiculed. We've been mocked. But when we have the right focus, the hurt hurts a little bit less. I'm going to read in James chapter 3. You don't have to flip there. James chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. I want you to focus on that last part. We were made in the likeness of God. Now here is what I want you to understand. We are not God. God is not us. We cannot take our rules of life and put them on God. God is God. We are his creation, but we are made in his image, and that means we are more valuable than any of his creation. We're more valuable than the unicorns. We're more valuable than the dolphins. We're more valuable than your kitty cats or your dogs. We're more valuable than any other creation in history, because God made you in his image. When they reject you, they are not rejecting you. They are rejecting the creator who created you, saying that he made a mistake. I mentioned earlier when I was in junior high, I was about 4'9", 4'10". I didn't hit 5 foot until I was halfway through my freshman year. Talk about being ridiculed for being short. But you know what? When they ridicule you for being short, they're saying God made a mistake. He made a mistake because he didn't make you tall enough. I have friends that are extremely tall. I've got friends that are over 7 foot tall, and they wish they weren't 7 foot tall. People will give them, will tease them because of their height. They're not teasing you because of your height. They're saying, God made a mistake because he made you too tall. He made you too this. He made you too that. Maybe you have a physical deformity, whatever it may be. When they ridicule you, they are not ridiculing you. They are ridiculing the man, God is not a man. They're ridiculing the one true God who created you. Oh, she has frizzy red hair. God didn't make a mistake when he gave you frizzy red hair. Or, he's bald. Look at that chrome dome. I can see the reflection of the moon off that. God did not make a mistake when he made you follically challenged. He does not make mistakes when he creates his creation. He got done. He says, it is good. It is very good. Now, there are some things that happen because we fall into sin. Adam and Eve sinned. We are born into sin. We live in a sinful world. We have deformities because sin entered our bodies and creates deformities. It's not because God made you badly. It's because we live in a sinful world. God created you perfect. I want you to think about this. Look at your, not physically look at yourself, that'd be creepy. Look at yourself for a second. Just think about your image, right? That's not you. This image that I'm looking at right now will pass away. Every single one of us in this room will pass away. You are your soul. You are your spirit. That spirit will live for eternity. It will never die. Now, it's going to live in one of two places, and Jason's going to get to this later on this week. It's either going to live in the presence of the one true God for all eternity, or it's going to be living away from him for all of eternity in a real place called hell. But this vessel that I'm looking at, that's not you. We need to take good care of this vessel that God has blessed us with, but that's not you. So don't allow yourself to identify with your height, your weight, your athletic stature, or anything like that that Jason talked about last night. That's not you. You are who you are on the inside. Your heart explains exactly who you are. So don't let other people reject you for what you look like, what you sound like, what you, well, if it's what you smell like, that's kind of your fault. A warning, how many counselors out there made like a no axe rule in the room? That's just smart. You know, girls, do you even like axe? Okay, like three of you like it. Smell good. Have good hygiene, but don't worry about impressing the other sex. The guys don't worry about impressing the girls. Girls don't worry about impressing the guys. They're going to be on somebody new in 3 weeks when school starts anyway. So understand this. When they reject you, they reject God. The last thing that I want you to go home with, if this is the one thing that you ever hear me talk about, this is the only thing that you ever even remember, I want you to understand that God will never reject you. Joshua was rejected by the entire nation of Israel because he stood for the right thing. When we do what's right, God will never reject you. Numbers chapter 14, I'm just going to read you the two verses referring to this. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, has followed me fully. I will bring into the land which he went, and his descendants shall pass it. Not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. God cursed the nation of Israel that they could not go into the promised land because their faith was not in God. Their faith was in their circumstances. But Joshua and Caleb, because of their faith, God blessed and he rewarded and he said, you will enter into the promised land. Now, I want you to understand something. Being disciplined by God, going through difficult things in your life, does not mean that God is rejecting you. Opposite. If you are being disciplined by God, it's because he loves you. The scripture says that God disciplines those whom he loves because he wants us to be brought into a right relationship with him. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. When you accepted him as your personal savior, he gave us the Holy Spirit. We have God inside of us to give us the strength to do what we are called to do. He will never leave you. But I will tell you, if you continue to walk away from the Lord, he will stop talking to you. He will stop convicting you. He will turn you over to the ways of the world. He will allow you to go through destruction. But that's not God rejecting you. That's you rejecting God. Very, very key difference. Romans 2:13. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who are justified. We can't just say we're Christian. We can't just say I'm a God follower. We can't just talk the talk. We have to walk the walk. We have to stand in the face of rejection as we are being rejected for whatever it is we're rejected. We have to remember they're not really rejecting you. And we also have to remember that God will never, ever, ever reject you. Now, like I've mentioned a few times, there are probably many of you right now going through some major hurt in your life. Major hurt. That hurt is real. I don't want to pull away from the hurt. And that hurt is so real that when we go back and talk with our counselors and we have our group discussion time here in just a few minutes, it might be something that you need to talk to them about and say, you know what, I've been struggling with this hurt because I've been rejected this way. I've been rejected this way. And maybe it is such a serious rejection that you need to really deal with it now, because you might have to bring the law into it. God wants you to be protected. He loves his children. He even condemns those who pray over his children. He says it's better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and tossed in the depths of the sea than to cause one of my children to stumble. God loves you. He wants to protect you. But you need to talk to your counselors if you're facing any of that real rejection and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. And here's the cool thing. When we're struggling with rejection and we share it with somebody that we can trust and we turn it over to God and say, God, I give you the rejection of, he's going to fill that hole with his power and you will be able to overcome it. It's not going to be easy and it's not going to be painless. The pain's not going to go away for a little while. But God's love will bring comfort. And then there will be that day where you, like Joshua and you, like Caleb, are going to see God's grace, God's mercy, instead of seeing giants and walls and fortification. You're going to see God's power. Don't allow rejection to identify you. Choose to be accepted by God. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come together, to open up your word, to see how you give us the strength, because you are Almighty God. Father, there's a lot of teens here. There's even some leaders here that are struggling with real pain. They're struggling with real rejection, Lord. I pray that through the study of your word, they will truly look to your face and for your pleasure and not for the acceptance of their peers. Father, I pray that even today, during our opportunity to talk with our church groups, that we will turn those fears and those rejections over to you, and that you can comfort us with your great love. Father, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for being a God who will never reject us. Thank you for not creating any junk, but that you created us in your image. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise in your Son's name. Amen.